Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. We want to do a part four today of Walking in the Power as we continue on in this series. And this probably will be our last segment of this topic, because I do believe the Lord has some things we want to finish up here before we move on to the next subject. And so before we get into that, of course, as my custom is, to introduce my beautiful bride, my sweetheart, and let her share a few things before we get into this teaching.
Hi, everyone. Once again, we are so privileged, so humbled that we have this opportunity to share the Word of God with you. We know that God has made you with a specific purpose, and He has a good intention with your life. And of course, that begins with knowing Him. But God is so good that He doesn't keep Himself a secret. He makes Himself available to you, and it's through His Word, and there is power in His Word. So I want to encourage you one more time, not only to listen to this carefully with your heart, but also share it with others. And you know what? Ask the Holy Spirit, as we do, ask the Holy Spirit to inspire this word so that you may understand it, so that you may have a revelation, not only with your mind to understand it, which is, of course, necessary, but that your spirit may embrace this word so that it will have a living effect in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, in your walk, in your faith, and thus be transformed, because that is what God does. And guess what? Jesus wants you to have abundant life. So let's listen with our ears of our heart.
Amen. Thank you, sweetheart. That's beautiful. And I want to start out in Isaiah 55. And we're going to talk about walking in the power, as we mentioned, is the subject of this series. And one of the key things that's important, I see, we're probably going to reiterate some of the points that we made in part one and part two and part three, as well as many of the connections that have already been made in some of the previous podcast series, you know, of some of the other topics about the integrity of God's word and so on, that these all kind of overlap in a lot of ways. And there's a lot of truth that comes from the revelation of the word, but at the same time, we know that faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word. So what I'm saying is this, is that yes, you may not always hear something new, but the more we continue to hear some of the same things over and over again, the more a faith is built, and then we will hear something new, and we will build on that as well.
That's right.
And I know that even as I have heard many things through our teaching, you know, that God has given us, because it's from the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that I've gotten some new revelations of scriptures that I already knew and had revelation of, but a different new kind of revelation. You know, the word tells us that we go from faith to faith. So that means we're continually increasing in our faith.
Amen.
And in order to, you know, for us to really increase in our faith, we have to be building upon that, and it has to be getting stronger and new in some other ways. So,
amen.
Without further ado, I want to turn to Isaiah chapter 55, and I want to read verses, before I actually read verses 8 and 9, I want to actually talk about something here. Is I used to hear preachers say, well, growing up, you know, that, you know, when somebody didn't get healed or something didn't go the way they wanted it to go in prayer, they'd often say, well, see, God is sovereign, and he knows the reason why things happened or didn't happen, and His ways are, you know, far past finding out, you know, as I've heard it said. His ways are too mysterious, and His ways are far past finding out, and we never know the things of God until we get to heaven. And oftentimes they took their text from this scripture, from Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, for it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, that sounds almost just like what I just said that they were stating, that we won't always know the things of God, the ways of God, because he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your thoughts, as my ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. That almost seems to conclude, we conclude that, oh, well, see, that's proof. We never know what God's thoughts are. And so then they dismiss the idea that we can never really know the answer to these questions, whether or not it's God's will to heal, whether he will do it or not, and why they did or didn't get healed, or whatever it is, might be. But interestingly, as I heard this scripture used over and over for years, it's interesting how they left out the previous two verses prior to that. Because if you go back and read 6 and 7, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, said the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So when you connect those two together, you see it's not that he's withholding his thoughts from people, what he's thinking about his situation, or what his ways are in order to know his ways. He's not withholding it. He's saying to the wicked, forsake your ways because your ways are not my ways. Forsake your thoughts because your thoughts are not my thoughts. Come over here to where my thoughts are and ways are, and you can come to know what I'm thinking and what I want you to know and do. And that completely changes the whole meaning of that, verse 8 and 9. Because when it's been used for, well, you can never know what they are because God is so far beyond us and we never understand God, that leaves people in that quandary or that, place of, ambiguity. Well, they never know what God's will is. And that really is key in order to, I might say, not only understanding God's ways, but also being able to walk in the power, because this subject topic for this series is walking in the power. How are we going to walk in the power if we don't know how the power works? If we don't know how God's ways are, what he expects of us, what his thoughts are? It's impossible to operate in true Bible faith, because a lot of people just make faith out to be something mysterious, like, well, faith is just a trust in the unknown, in God of the unknown, because we'll never know. We just have faith that he'll lead us. Now, obviously, we know there's a place for this, of unreservedly trusting in God in areas of our life that we don't know and understand. And many times this is, is a good place to be when you're in the beginning stages of your faith and walk with God, because there's a lot of things we don't know. Just like a little child. A little child, I remember the first day I went to kindergarten in 1969.
Wow.
Right?
Wasn't even born yet.
Yeah, was.
Just kidding. I was.
That's kind of funny since you're 3 years younger than me and you weren't even born yet when I was 5. Okay, so somebody do the math here. Help us out here. But anyway, yeah, I love my sweetheart. She's got a second career path here. If this doesn't work out, the daycare and all that.
There you go, comedy.
She can be a comedian. But I'm not sure Michael Jr. is ready to share the platform just yet.
He's the best.
Yeah, he's great. Anyway, now I've lost my train of thought. So getting back to this, to the subject matter, people often, look at, the early stages of Christianity in the same way they would the advanced levels, but we know
when you were in kindergarten, you had some thoughts.
Yeah, I had a few thoughts.
And that's when I interfered and interrupted you.
I had a few thoughts. So I'm glad I didn't meet you when I was in the kindergarten. But yeah, I there's another storyline there about, my first day in kindergarten, what I was expecting, because our my kindergarten teacher actually came to the house to meet my parents before I started school. And so
you were in trouble before even you started school.
I guess you could look at it like that if you want to. But anyway, no, that was interesting because I had listened to her talk about some things, and I gained some of the wrong expectations out of kindergarten. You know, we might talk about some of that's funny stuff later. But my point, what I'm getting at here, for the topic of our listeners, is that we sometimes look at how we expect things to be in the beginning versus how we expect them to be when we grow up.
Right.
Just like, for example, my parents didn't expect out of me the behavior of a 15-year-old, 16-year-old, from a 5-year-old, right? When I was ready to learn to drive at 16, obviously I wasn't equipped for that at 5 years old, right?
That's right.
In the same way, when we start learning about God and His ways, we often think, well, they're mysterious and they're far past finding out. We'll never know what God's thinking, and it's just up to Him to decide whether He wants to do something or not because, we can never know these things. And it's interesting to me how preachers basically build on that, philosophy or that belief system and perpetuate it, because if you're 20 years into the faith, walking with God, it shouldn't be a mystery like it was in the beginning.
That's true.
Matter of fact, as we go from faith to faith, in getting more faith, are we just getting more faith just to trust blindly? Or are we gaining faith based on the knowledge of God and His Word and His will?
Mm.
So we should be gaining more knowledge and understanding of God, because the Scripture tells us that God's will is for us to know His will.
That's true.
And if we're to know His will, then we can have faith in what He will do, because it's like anything else. The more you get to know somebody, and we mentioned this in the previous some previous podcasts, that the more you get to know somebody, the more you know what they'll do.
That's true.
Just like you know people that I do not know, and I know people you do not know. So either one of us can say, hey, this person will do this or this or that. We wouldn't know it because, what I'm saying is that I could tell you something about somebody that isn't true, and you wouldn't know whether it was true or not if you had never met them.
That's right.
From experience, we get to know people, and we get to know whether they're trustworthy. Because a lot of times when we meet people to begin with, for those, especially those that are not trustworthy, they may come across as trustworthy, but as time goes on, generally their true colors do come out.
Right.
And we say, okay, well, this person can't be trusted because he never shows up on time. He never pays back the money he borrows, or they do this, say this, and they don't ever carry out what they say they're going to do. They never keep their word. Yeah, but see, with God, we're supposed to be learning about Him more and more and more. So as we do that, we come to know what He will do.
Something I just want to mention here, it's so beautiful, as you said, when we don't take a verse out of context and we actually see what was the prior verse in order to understand it. Because if we take a verse out of context, it doesn't mean what God intended for it to mean. If you and I are in a conversation, and somebody walks in at the end of our conversation, they're not going to understand. Maybe they may even misunderstand a comment or an attitude, a question that I may be posing or you may be posing at that moment, because you just have a piece of that conversation. And I believe the same thing happens throughout the Word, that many times, too often, unfortunately, we take things out of context. And as you said, we repeat verses, which is beautiful. It's good that we memorize verses and we learn them. But it is important to understand when they were said, why, to whom, and all those things, so that it truly carries out its effectiveness, the intention of that word. So I'm saying that to say that when we look at the beginning of that chapter 55, here the title of it, I love it, it's mercy, God's mercy. And I mentioned this because as you're speaking about God's thoughts being higher than our thoughts, he's extending his mercy to us. Of course, it's to the unbeliever, but it is so good to know that, first of all, God validates our thoughts. In other words, he knows we have thoughts. Once I heard somebody say, oh, in order for you to be a Christian, you have to give up your mind. That is so not true.
I agree.
Have you heard that?
Yes.
Right? And that's not true. That's very offensive because God does not ask us not to understand. On the contrary, in order for you to have faith, you need to use your mind. Because there is nothing in this world, in this universe, that makes more sense, more logical than the fact that there is a loving God, almighty God, powerful God, who has the power and the love to do things as he's done with us and in this planet and offer us salvation. So we need to be definitely using our minds. The Christians, definitely, we have to use our minds to understand God's goodness. But the point is, he says he knows we have thoughts. God knows that we have thoughts. And in his mercy, he is saying, listen, I know you have thoughts. And now this is speaking also to believers, right? As you were saying, now extending this to the believers, I know you have thoughts, but listen, you cannot remain with the same thoughts that you had 5 years ago when you just became a newborn believer. You have to show growth. And there is something that God does with us, the Holy Spirit, and it's that he does take us from glory to glory. So if we find ourselves still thinking the same way, still defining faith the same way we did when we first came to the Lord, still loving others in the small measure that we did, still having the small measure of patience, still having really small fruit, that's not healthy. It may be that we're like that, but it's not healthy. Just as we take our children to the doctor, and part of their routine checkup is that the doctor actually measures the height and sees how tall that child is, and even asks the mom, how many words is this child saying now? Because this is all part of a development. What can this child do? So anyway, all of this just to bring it back to the fact that God is inviting us to not be limited to our thoughts, but to have access, to desire the thoughts of God, because his thoughts for our lives are better. His thoughts for the unbeliever is better. His thoughts for eternity is better. His thoughts for our belief in healing is better. Our thoughts versus God's thoughts, we definitely have much more to aspire. And we should surrender to God's thoughts. We talk about surrendering a lot of things, right? But not often do I hear a Christian, and I'm speaking for myself, to literally say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to surrender my thoughts to you. Let your thoughts trump over mine. This is how I think I should act in this circumstance. But you know what? What do you say? What are your thoughts? How do you want me to act? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to give up? What do you want me to stop doing? What do you want me to pursue? What do you want me to put my hands on? And what do you want me to take my hands off? What life changes do you require? Do you want so that I can grow? Because God wants us to continue to grow. And it is all, once again, out of his mercy, because God isn't more God just because we change and we surrender to His thoughts, but we become better people. We become better Christians when we surrender our thoughts to God's.
That's beautifully stated, sweetheart, because there's so many avenues and aspects to walking in the power of God. You know, it's simply about what we talked yesterday when I mentioned in the podcast. It isn't simply just about walking in, you know, resurrection power, like raising someone from the dead, mm-hmm. healing the sick. It applies to so many things. It applies to our own character,
right?
Our own nature. You know, as I quoted from 2 Peter chapter 1 about the divine nature, you know, that we have access to the divine nature by way of the Holy Spirit given to us to live within us,
amen.
To help us to walk out the things of God. And it takes a renewal of the mind. You know, that's what it says in Romans 12:2, be transformed through the renewing of your mind,
mm-hmm.
that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so when we talk about walking in the power, it's the power of a transformed life,
amen.
Power of my life being transformed into
good.
His likeness,
that's
into his good. Character, and as well as being able to be used as a vessel that can release the power, you know, the Holy Spirit being released through us to touch other people's
amen.
Lives,
that's right.
whether it's to heal them of an incurable disease or mm-hmm. to speak words of life into their spirit that's mm-hmm. going to change their thinking.
That's right.
Because, you know, unless, you know, what's that scripture in the Old Testament? I don't know where it is, but it says, unless the Lord builds a house,
mm-hmm.
those who do so labor in vain.
Mm-hmm.
So we need the Holy Spirit on the inside of us working through us, but He's not going to work through us without our cooperation, without us submitting and surrendering to Him and allowing Him to give us His thoughts and to replace our thoughts with His, because...
Right.
You know, as I heard a preacher say a number of years ago, and I repeat again from a previous podcast, that our life will always go or tend to go in the direction of our most dominant thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
If our mind is on carnal, worldly things, then we're going to be preoccupied with that, and that's the direction we're going to go. And you can basically tell where people are at in that. You know, maybe they might be in a certain season, but generally some people are like that for years. All they're talking about is sports, you know, the statistics of this quarterback or that wide receiver or this basketball player and all this, you know, statistics he has and how many, you know, rings he has and all these things. And if that's all this they know, all they're talking about, it's obvious that the things of God is not dominant in their life. And therefore, they're going to always be on a lower level, even if they are a Christian. Born-again Christian, how are they going to walk in the greater measure of power that God has made available to them through the Holy Spirit if they don't know that they need to give their thoughts to Him and allow Him to lead and direct them? Because, you know, it takes a thought just to get up and go down and stairs and get in the car, go out
That's
to the
right.
garage or whatever, and they get in the car. Everything
That's right.
we do is a result of having thoughts. And acting on them. And honestly, many people fall short of all that God has for them. And they can't even really begin to imagine the mm-hmm. great things that God has for them in this life. You know, we talk about heaven, and heaven's going to be awesome.
Right.
But what about why they're here now on the earth mm-hmm. and what they're mm-hmm. called to do? They don't have a vision. It says where there's no vision, the people perish.
Right. You know, something comes to mind as you were saying that, and I think somebody needs to hear this because the Word of God, it just teaches us, it instructs us, it helps us just to get on the right path. And once again, I truly believe somebody needs to hear this. And it's that I believe that in the bottom of our hearts, we all want to grow. Like, I don't think anyone says, I want to remain immature, you know, the rest of my life. We all want to grow. We all believe that that growth is just a natural process. Nobody thinks about growing in the natural. We just grow, right? But sometimes our growth is negatively affected by things that happen, certain things, sometimes nutrition, things like that. And so I, once again, I truly believe somebody needs to listen to this, that in order for you to grow, there are things that we need to do, but also there are things that we sometimes need to change. We need to change. And may the Holy Spirit speak into your heart what it is that He wants you to do. But before you do what He wants you to do, in order for there to be a change, sometimes we have to stop something else. Let me just give you a practical example. I was born in New York and I lived there many, many years. And I remember being on the subway a lot. It didn't happen a lot of times, many times, but once in a while, my mother realized, and also me as an adult, oops, I am going the wrong way. I am going the wrong way. My destination, if I stay on this train, I am not going to get to my destination. So just by me lamenting, oh no, I'm on the wrong train, that's not going to fix it. Just by me calling someone, hey, I'm on the wrong train, oh no, that's not going to fix it. By me having anxiety, getting nervous, or yelling at somebody, that wasn't going to fix it. I needed to get off the train. I needed to immediately, as soon as I could, get off the train, because that train wasn't going to take me to where I needed to go. Then once I got off the train, I would have to reroute, see, okay, where do I need to go? What is the next one I need to get on in order to make a connection that'll take me? And sometimes it was a two-step process, but I needed to get off that one before I could get on the right one. And so once again, I know that somebody needs to hear this. It's not that you need to, you know, read the Bible and memorize it. It's not that you, whatever it is that the Holy Spirit is telling you, sometimes it's one small thing that needs to get rearranged, that needs to get corrected. Sometimes it's one thing, and I really don't want to put a name to it, because the Holy Spirit will speak to each one of us individually. But it is so beautiful to know that God wants us to continue to grow, and He will guide us as to what is it that we need to do. But before we do, we need to stop. We need to correct. We need to rearrange, adjust. It might even be an adjustment of thoughts, of attitudes, of expectation. It may be a relationship. It may be something that you are currently doing that you know it's not that God who put you there. It may be something specific. I don't want to continue to name things so that I don't limit it, because I know that the Holy Spirit will specifically let you know, because if He wants us to know His word, He's not going to keep it a secret. If you seek Him, you will find. And I'm telling you this, and I'm sure I'm speaking for yourself, for you too, that we have all been on the wrong train. And He has told us. And you know what the sad part is? That's, I speak for myself now. He has told me, get off the train, get off the train. And I am just so comfortable there. And I stay there. And my trip is longer. And then I regret the fact that I didn't get off sooner. You know, and God is so merciful. Now, a bad thing that could happen to us is when the Holy Spirit has spoken to us so many times, get off the train, and we don't, and then we just don't listen to it anymore. And we continue on that same path. So all of that to say, God is good, and let's be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and make any necessary adjustments that may seem like it's big, and it's just one first step that needs to be taken before the second one can make sense.
That's very important. All those things you just shared, because the fact that, you know, people want to talk about, well, you know, oh yeah, we want to walk in God's power, but you know, mm-hmm. for what purpose? Mm-hmm. And even so, if those purposes are legitimate, you know, important and right before God, it's going to take being led by the Holy Spirit to get there. We don't get there on our own, nor we accomplish any of these things, you know, according to our own ability. You know, we need the Holy Spirit in us to be able to do these things. But saying all that to say this, you know, what I'm hearing you say is that surrender to God and His will, as we started out in this passage of Scripture in Isaiah 55, it takes forsaking our thoughts, but not simply our thoughts alone, our wanting to be in control of our own destiny and our own path. Because, like I said, you know, as one preacher said years ago, I heard that our life will tend to always lead in the direction of our most dominant thoughts, the mm-hmm. thoughts that we entertain, you know, because we have authority. We have the power to be able to control our thoughts, you know, for the most part. You know, of course, if we're struggling with that, then we need to seek God for His help. But yet most people have been given a free will to choose what they want to think on. And God is telling, forsake your thoughts mm-hmm. and come over to mine.
Amen.
Because mine are better.
That's beautiful.
And you need them. So
that's
we're going to conclude this broadcast here on that note, that if you're wanting to walk in power, what for whatever reason, you're going to need to submit to God. And it's like one preacher also said, if you're wanting to be led by the Holy Spirit, then that obviously is going to mean you're going to have to be willing to obey and serve and do what He says. Because how are you going to be led by the Spirit of God if you're not willing to follow what He's telling you to do? So we'll end that here, and I'll let my sweetheart do her evangelistic little thing.
Amen. And, you know, the best news of all, before we even talk about coming and enjoying God's thoughts and actually being a part of what He has to offer, we first have to know that He offers salvation. None of this is available until we first have the Holy Spirit. All this beautiful speech about walking in the power, all of that is true, but you first have to be a child of God. If you are a human being, guess what? You are a creation of God. That doesn't mean that you are a child of God. The Word of God says that we are adopted as sons and daughters. And how do we do that, you may ask? How do I become a child of God? I thought I was a child of God. No, the Holy Spirit tells us, the Word of God, God, Jesus tells us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And listen to what He says. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. So that means that in order for you to become a child of God, you have to surrender your heart to Jesus. Jesus is offering you His life because He died on the cross in your place, in my place. Why did He die? Because the sins that you and I have, they had to be punished, and it was punishable by death. So He took the penalty of your sin and He died. So guess what? Now you don't have to die. If you accept Jesus, what He did, you don't have to die. If you don't accept what He did, then you do have to die. What kind of death? Eternal death. So all of that to say, Jesus is offering you eternal life and forgiveness of sins, and He is offering you a new life in Him. He's offering you a life of an abundant life. He's offering you an abundant life, and that's only possible through Him. So we encourage you, we invite you to make sure that today is the day you say, yes, Jesus, yes, yes, I accept the gift of salvation You're offering me. I believe You are the Son of God, and You died on the cross for me. I'll take the offer of salvation, and I'll give You my life. And guess what? You will be a brand new person.
Amen, sweetheart. That's so beautiful. Yes, there's no greater thing than to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and receive that eternal life and be able to live forever with Him and the
Amen.
Father in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. So Amen. We'll end this broadcast here. We thank all for listening. God bless you all, and we'll talk to you later.
God bless. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.